And welcome back to The Resistance with your host, DJ Revolution, on the one and only Penguin Radio, where we are crazy enough to believe that the world can actually change. And so, last time I left off, we had no idea who the President of the United States was going to be. The election results were still very unclear because there were so many states that were still counting votes. And since then, we actually know who the next president is going to be, and it's given me a sense of relief, honestly, just because not only the person I wanted to win won, but also the tension of not knowing who is going to be our next president was just so stressful. And so I'm so glad that we finally have a sense of who is going to lead our country. And so after a long and crazy election that lasted longer than we all would have wanted, Joe Biden was projected to be the next president of the United States on Saturday, and this came after he was projected to win Pennsylvania, which of course is worth 20 electoral college votes. And this was surprising to me because I thought that he was going to take a different path towards victory. I thought he was going to win Arizona and Nevada, which would have put him exactly at 270 electoral college votes, but instead he won Pennsylvania, which put him over the top, which both ways work. I just thought it was going to be differently, and I thought, you know, it was people were going to count their votes differently. But today Joe Biden actually was projected to win Arizona, which just puts him more and more over the top. And each day Joe Biden's win grows more decisive each day as votes are counted. And today Biden was officially projected to win Arizona, which is usually a reliably Republican state. And the same thing is happening in Georgia right now. Georgia has not yet been called, but Joe Biden is still winning Georgia. And I think when we talk about Georgia, we have to talk about Stacey Abrams. There's no talking about Georgia without Stacey Abrams. She worked so hard since 2018 to get unregistered voters to register and to get voters to vote. She worked so hard to get out the vote, and I think the massive voter turnout that we're seeing in Georgia is partly due to Stacey Abrams because of her great job of getting out the vote there. And so I'm interested to see what will happen with the Senate runoff in Georgia as well. And I'm sure it'll be fine. And if the Democrats get that seat in the Senate in Georgia, then they'll be able to flip the Senate, which will be interesting. Because as we all know, when you have divided government, the president can't get a lot done. But even though Trump is disagreeing with the, you know, results of the election, Joe Biden won decisively by many states. Some Trump supporters are comparing this election to the Al Gore-Bush election, but in the Al Gore-Bush election, there was one state that, you know, was going to be decided by 500 votes. This is very different. These are many states that this election is really going down to, and in these states Joe Biden is leading by tens of thousands of votes. It's not just 500 votes. It's not a small margin. Joe Biden is leading by massive margins in these states, and so it's interesting to see how people are comparing this election to the Bush and Al Gore election, because they have no similarities. And even if they did, Joe Biden would be Bush. He would not be Al Gore, and he would still come out victorious. And so I think everything that's happening now with Trump, you know, saying this is fraud, there is so much voter fraud. Even if there was voter fraud, there's voter fraud in every single election, but it doesn't necessarily sway the results. And historically, it never has. And I don't think this year will be any different. And even U.S. government officials have said, you know, there was no voter fraud that has significantly swayed the results of the election this year. And so I think it's important for Trump to concede and just say, hey, I fought a tough fight and it's your turn now. Because I think if he just made a simple concession speech, that so many Americans would feel so comforted, especially, you know, those diehard Trump supporters that are like, oh my gosh, voter fraud, because Trump is saying it. If he just made a concession speech, I think America would be able to make so much headway in terms of unity. Right now, we are a country divided, and even Abraham Lincoln said that a country divided within itself cannot prosper, and that's what we are right now. And so I think regardless of political party, we have to put political party aside and say what is best for our nation. And, you know, just throwing out all these and not having faith in our democracy is not what's best in for our nation right now. And I think Trump has to be a big enough person to realize that these are huge accusations. If you're going to throw these accusations around, you should have evidence, and, you know, you shouldn't just be saying these things because rhetoric matters, especially when you're president. Rhetoric matters when you're anyone, but when you're president, the words you say really, you know, they really impact people, and people take these words to heart. And so many people right now are just feeling like they can't trust democracy just because of what Trump and his team is saying. And it's interesting to see that so many Americans aren't trusting our democracy, the same democracy that they've trusted in years past, just because of claims that have no real evidence. And so the chance of a recount overturning the results in 2020 is basically nothing, because Joe Biden is leading by tens of thousands of votes. This isn't, even if they recounted it and Joe Biden was only leading by a small margin, they would probably recount and Joe Biden would get more votes. That's usually how it goes. The person who's leading usually gets more votes. And so it's absurd to think that a recount would sway the results in 2020. And so a statewide recount since 2000, the average shift in votes has been a mere 430 votes and 0.02 points. And so the largest shift in votes was a little less than 2,600 and 0.11 points. And so recounts really do nothing major, especially if you're the candidate that's losing. Recounts usually help the person that's winning. And so I'm interested to see what's going to happen in January and if Trump is going to peacefully leave or if something weird is going to happen. I hope not, because that will be embarrassing for America if Trump hasn't embarrassed us enough already. And so all of Biden's advantages are considerably larger than that right now. And so, in other words, Trump would need multiple recounts to see movement in votes than simply hasn't happened in the last 20 years, and frankly won't happen. And so Trump would need at least one recount to shift margin by over 0.62 points and 20,000 votes. And that's Biden's current margin in Wisconsin to win. And I just don't see this happening. And I just find it really, really selfish that Trump is doing this. It almost seems as though he cares more about being president than what is good for America. Because I can tell you right now, this is just dividing America even more. We have half of the nation happy and dancing in the street that Joe Biden has won the presidency. And we have half protesting and standing outside of polling places saying that there is fraud and that they've seen major voter fraud. And it's honestly very saddening, because I'm happy. I think I can sleep better now that I know there's going to be a different president within the White House in a couple months. But a lot of Americans don't feel the same way, and I wish we were able to be united. And I feel as though if Trump was just to make a simple concession speech and say, you know, I fought a long, hard battle, it wasn't meant to be, and I'm turning the I'm turning the wheel over to Joe Biden. So many Americans would feel at peace, and I think Democrats would even have a little respect for him. And I hope he's able to do that in the near future and he gives up all of this recount business, because it would just make a lot of Americans feel a lot better. Thank you for listening to The Resistance with your host, DJ Revolution, on the one and only Penguin Radio. I will be right back with our next segment.
The following PSA is brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio.
Why do we bow? We bow because it's important to exercise our right to bow. We bow on issues that matter to us, such as healthcare, education, the economy, civil rights, and immigration. With our votes, we have the power to shape our country and our communities. Your vote matters. Yeah! So please, register to vote. This PSA has been brought to you by the DJs of Penguin Radio and the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California.
Hello everyone, I'm interrupting my broadcast for some breaking news. So the U.S. reported over 150,000 new coronavirus cases Thursday, an alarming record coming just over a week after the country's first 100,000 case day, and so this is definitely not good. And so the pandemic has risen to crisis levels in much of the nation, especially the Midwest, as hospital executives warn of dwindling bed space as coroners deploy mobile morgues, and more than 100,000 coronavirus cases have been announced nationwide every day since November 4th, and 6 of the last 9 days have broken the previous record. Hello everyone, and welcome back to The Resistance with your host, DJ Revolution, where we are crazy enough to believe that the world can actually change, on the one and only Penguin Radio at the Dominican University of California. So after Joe Biden was projected to win on Saturday, there were thousands of protests, there were thousands of celebrations, and it's been crazy, it's been weird. I've been feeling a sense of relief. I feel as though I can sleep better, not only because we finally have results, but also these past 4 years have been very tiring, and I am tired. I need a good night's rest knowing that we're not going to have a racist in the White House. That's really what I needed. Even though he's still in there, I know on January 20th that he's going to be gone. And that is just relief for me. As an Afro-Latina woman, it is relieving knowing that there is finally, after 4 long years, there's finally going to be someone in office that is compassionate and that actually cares. And that's something that's very important to me. And character, I think, is important when you're president. It's very debatable, but I think character is an important aspect to look at when we're talking about a president. And I think Joe Biden has an admirable character. And I cannot wait until January 20th. And unfortunately, I was not able to celebrate in the street just because I took COVID-19 precautions, but also because my city is very Republican. And so because of this, there were no celebrations. There were just protests. So there were people in the street chanting things like MAGA and voter fraud everywhere, and it was very weird to see this, and I try to stay inside just because I am Afro-Latina, and there were rumors going around that people of color might be in danger because white supremacists might be around, and so I just took precautionary measures and stayed inside and stayed to myself, which was probably the best thing because it was a very heated time, I think, for everybody. Everywhere across the nation. There were protests and there were celebrations. And so from New York to Miami in the east and Denver and Austin out west, Biden supporters flooded into the streets after CNN and other news organizations projected Biden as the winner Saturday morning. And so there were honking horns, dancing, and popping champagne. I wish I could experience this, but unfortunately, I live about an hour south of Denver, and Denver is very, 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 very liberal, and I wish I lived there, but I don't. And so in Washington, D.C., a crowd packed into the streets in front of the White House at Black Lives Matter Plaza within seconds of the race being called. And so the streets nearby filled with people shouting, banging pots and pans and singing, nah, 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 hey, hey, goodbye. So I think this is an historic moment in 2020. There have been so many historic moments, bad historic moments, good historic moments, and I think this is a great historic moment. This is resiliency at its prime. This is, you know, we've been down for 4 years, and this is us celebrating. We don't have a racist in the office anymore, a xenophobic, a homophobic in the office, in the White House anymore, and so I think this is so monumental for so many people because Donald Trump is not a regular president. And I think, you know, he's not normal, and that's a reason why he was elected in the first place. But, you know, he's not normal, and so people aren't going to have a normal reaction. And I think one of my life goals is just to be a good enough person that when I get fired from my job, thousands aren't celebrating in the street. And so, unfortunately, Donald Trump has not been able to achieve that goal. But the celebratory crowd in the blocks around the White House, it created a traffic jam, really, with people sitting on top of cars and drivers holding their fists out the window. And one person was wearing an American flag as a cape, and they walked toward Black Lives Matter protest with a handwritten poster board that read, "The nightmare is over." And I think that's what the biggest thing for a lot of Americans right now is, that Donald Trump was a pure nightmare. It was terrible. And even though Joe Biden might not be the perfect candidate and might not be everyone's favorite president-elect, I think he's a lot better than Donald Trump. And I don't think these celebrations were necessarily celebrating that Joe Biden was going to be the 46th president of the United States. I think these celebrations were ultimately reflecting the, you know, the pure hatred Americans have towards Donald Trump. And they were just celebrating having Trump out of office. It was never about having Joe Biden in office. It was about having Trump out. And I think that's what it's all about. And even though I think a lot of it too is Americans were celebrating Kamala Harris getting the first African American South Asian woman to ever be elected as the Vice President of the United States, that's so monumental. And, you know, it's so important to girls like me who are people of color to just see other women in positions of power that look like them. And I don't think I've ever been able to see someone like that within that position of power. And it's so overwhelmingly awesome. It's so awesome to see someone that looks like you be so successful, because then, you know, like, you are able to do that as well. And I know it's inspiring for me. And Kamala Harris may not be the perfect person, but she's representative of a community that's not often represented. And I think that's why a lot of Americans are out in the streets celebrating, because this is monumental. We are making history. And like I said, 2020 is historic in good ways and bad ways. And Kamala Harris, I think, is in a good way. And she can be a controversial figure at times, but whether you're Republican or Democrat, I think we can all agree that electing more people of color into high positions of office is no mistake. And I think that's an important step we need to take. And so the packed crowd outside the White House sung YMCA, which was the song Trump used to close out his rallies down the home stretch of the campaign. So a little irony there for Mr. Trump. And so Trump, however, was not at the White House on Saturday morning. He was actually golfing at his club in Virginia when CNN and other news networks called the race. Imagine getting fired on your day off. Oh my gosh, that would be embarrassing. I've never been fired, so I can't relate to Trump here. But I can only imagine that that would be terribly embarrassing. And so both Biden and Trump supporters gathered at the club's entrance and lined the road leading to it, saying, "You are fired." And so in Philadelphia, which was key to Biden's decisive Pennsylvania win, cars honked, people waved, Biden flags, and large crowds gathered outside of Philadelphia City Hall. And it was unseasonably warm, and people were pouring into the streets with everything from coffees to brunch cocktails. And, you know, a good amount were wearing masks, which is a good thing because we're still in a global pandemic, and wearing masks is definitely important. And so Biden town, a woman yelled out of a car headed down Broad Street in the city's downtown area. So, you know, this is a blue area, so some people are calling it Biden town now. And so there is a constant stream of cars driving by and honking with people fist pumping out the windows. And I think regardless of if you're politically active, this was an election that a lot of people participated in just because the stakes were so high, and especially for people of color and the LGBTQ community and immigrants and the environment. This was such an important election. It wasn't about Trump. It was so much bigger than Trump. It was getting someone in the Oval Office that is able to reflect American ideals and actually have a basis of morals. And so this election was just so different than any other, and I think people are like, well, why are there people cheering in the streets? You didn't see that in 2016, because we are tired. I am tired, and I think that's what it is. And I'm tired of being tired, and I've been sleeping so much better since Joe Biden has been named president-elect. Like, I don't even know why, I just have, and it's just been a good feeling. As an Afro-Latina woman, I feel safer, and I feel so much better, and I think that we have a lot of work to do from these past 4 years, and Kamala and Joe are going to have their hands full, but I have faith in them, and I believe they can do it, and I voted for them, I believe in them, and I'm rooting for them, because to root for them is to root for America, and I hope they can do well. Thank you for listening to The Resistance with your host, DJ Revolution, on the one and only Penguin Radio. I will be right back with our third segment.
The following PSA is brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio.
Hey, think twice before you litter. Even a small piece of trash can endanger the beautiful animals in our communities. So don't litter. Take responsibility and help the environment. Help save some animals and keep the world clean. It only takes a few seconds to find a trash can and throw away that candy wrapper. So be a role model and don't litter. This PSA has been brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio and the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Resistance with your host, DJ Revolution, where we are crazy enough to believe that the world can actually change on the one and only Penguin Radio at the Dominican University of California. And so, because we all know Joe Biden has been named the president-elect and is set to become the 46th president of the United States, his running mate, Kamala Harris, who is set to become the first woman of color vice president, is a senator in California, and so her Senate seat will have to be replaced, and so that means Gavin Newsom will have to pick a new senator, and I'm interested to see who he picks. And he's getting a lot of media attention right now and a lot of pressure to choose another woman of a color because Senator Kamala Harris's appointment was unprecedented, as she was the first woman of color to become a senator in California, and so she made history with her Senate appointment. And so I think it's only fair that he does pick another woman of color, because representation is everything, and we need to see more diversity within politics, because we need to see diversity within politics so that it can be reflected of everyone and the everyday person. And I think that's really important, and especially to young people who want to go into politics, to see that they can actually do it. You know, anyone can do it. If you see, you know, every single color of person, every single gender of person, you know, that's so awesome. And I think it's so important to have representation so that younger generations just have hope and are inspired. And so now that Kamala Harris has been named vice president-elect, this means Governor Gavin Newsom has officially kicked off his search for appointing California's next U.S. senator, which is an important task, and I'm really, really interested to see who he's going to pick. I really would like to see Karen Bass get this position, and I think she's well fit for this position. And so many of Newsom's insiders insist that the governor wants to make a historic choice again, just because Kamala Harris was the first female person of color elected, and so making Secretary of State Alex Padilla a leading contender. And so if picked, Padilla, a longtime Newsom supporter, would become the first Latino senator in the state's 170-year history, which is amazing. Again, like I said, representation is everything. Representation is so important, especially for the young people being able to see themselves within positions of power. I know with the appointment of Kamala Harris as vice president-elect, it's very empowering to me to see a person that looks like me in a position of power. And it kind of gave me a little motivation that, you know, I can do this. I can do whatever I want. And so the governor, Governor Gavin Newsom, has also contended with women's groups who have also pressured him to fill Harris's seat with another woman of color. And so putting Karen Bass, like I said, I would like to see her of Los Angeles, the head of the Congressional Black Caucus, high on the list. And Bass was on Joe Biden's vice presidential shortlist and said recently that she's keeping her options open with new administration coming. And I think this is interesting. I did not actually know before I did research on this that she was on the vice presidential shortlist. In terms of vice presidents, I would have actually liked to see Stacey Abrams as vice president-elect, but, you know, we're still making headway. I think America's still a little bit too fat-phobic and a little bit too colorist to elect Stacey Abrams, which is sad that it's still that way, but, you know, a step forward is still a step forward, and I'm still grateful that, you know, I'll be able to see someone that looks like me in a position of power. It's still very empowering. I would like to see more headway in the coming years, but I know that's going to be hard, especially with more conservative groups out there still. And so, you know, I'm just very interesting to see who Gavin Newsom picks, because this will be a monumental choice, and they're going to be big shoes to fill, especially Kamala Harris. She is definitely a powerful voice, and so he's, you know, former Governor Jerry Brown has speculated that Newsom would be more likely to pick a statewide officer for the seat, just because that would allow him to name both the next senator and a powerful state office holder's replacement as well. And so if that happens, I'm wondering if he will also choose to pick a person that's diverse for a powerful state office holder's replacement. Because I think, you know, putting diversity within all aspects of government is important. And so, aside from Padilla that I mentioned earlier, that puts Attorney General Xavier Becerra, who is not as close to Newsom, and Treasurer Fiona Ma, and State Controller Betty Yee. And these are all candidates of color within the mix. My top choice is Karen Bass, and I really, really hope that she gets it. And so, but let's talk about Yee and Ma. And so they have already indicated that their interest in a future run for governor. And as the state's first female lieutenant governor, Eleni Gunalakis is also viewed as having potential in the incoming Biden administration. And I know within the Biden administration, he's trying very hard to include people from all over the spectrum in terms of gender and, you know, ethnic background. And I think that's really important, especially in high positions of power. And within government, we've always seen this trend that it's usually white men who have power, and that dates back to when America's democracy was first started. And I think we're finally making significant headway within America that, you know, you don't just have to be a white man to be in charge. You don't really have to. And the white men have been in charge for so long. We're not even doing that great. Let's give the power to someone else, see what they can do, and, you know, let's do it that way. Let's try the lesser of two evils. It's just really empowering for me to see all these women of color as an Afro-Latina woman, and also as a person who wants to go into politics herself someday, seeing all these women get elected and get appointed. It's amazing, and I think that's part of the reason why Kamala Harris becoming vice president-elect was so important to me, just because it was really important for me to see someone that looks like me and has the same skin color as me be able to be perceived as someone who's respectable and kind and smart and powerful. I think that's so important, and, you know, especially someone that's worked so hard. So I'm so overwhelmingly happy that my VP looks like me. I bought a shirt from Amazon that said my VP looks like me, and I'm excited to sport that shirt around. And I'm excited to live in America where the government officials are as diverse as the people who live in America. And even though we have in America, we have so much more headway to go, and we can make so much more progress, I feel like we are really moving the right direction now. And this year we saw the wave of women, and especially within this past election, there were a lot of women elected to government statewide offices. And even though, you know, a lot of them are Republican women, I'm not going to complain. I would rather them be Democrat women, but they were Republican women. But any woman within power, I think, is a good thing, because that's signaling diversity. And diversity is never, ever a bad thing, because as America, we're so diverse, and it's important that, you know, the people in power reflect that, so that we're able to make authentic decisions for the citizens. And, you know, I'm excited to see where America is going to go in these next couple of years, especially under new leadership. But, you know, I'm really interested to see who Governor Gavin Newsom picks and what will end up, because those are huge shoes to fill. Thank you for listening to Welcome to the Resistance. This is your host, DJ Revolution. I will be back for our last segment. Hello, everyone. I'm interrupting my broadcast because there is some breaking news. So top U.S. government officials declared the election to be the most secure in history, saying there was no sign any voting system was compromised, and this is certainly good news. So the top U.S. government officials say this was
the following PSA is brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio.
To high-ranking officials at the Cybersecurity and Carbon Infrastructure Security Agency, greatest part of the Department of Homeland Security, along with several top elections officials, crisp, amounted to a strong rebuke of President Trump's repeated baseless assertion that the election had been compromised.
Into our atmosphere. Before you jump into your car, next time, ask yourself if you can make the trip on your bike instead. And keep it clean.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Resistance with your host, DJ Revolution, where we are crazy enough to believe that the world can change on the one and only Penguin Radio at the Dominican University of California. So I really think that with everything going up, it's been super hectic. You know, the election, which has been monumental, we've been focusing a lot on that and get out the vote. And finally, that's over. Well, not in Georgia, but finally, that's kind of winding down. And then Halloween just passed. Thanksgiving's coming up, Christmas is coming up, New Year's is coming up, it's the end of the semester, which means finals. I think with all of this going on, we've kind of forgot we're still in the midst of a global pandemic, and, you know, putting on hand sanitizer and putting on a mask has just become normalized, where we don't think, I'm putting this on because there's a pandemic. And so because of that, we kind of forgot that and put COVID on the back burner. But COVID is ramping up like never before, and there's surges all over not only the country but the world. And so I would be mistaken to not mention that Biden is forming a special COVID transition team, which I think is very important. And to be noted, they're all doctors and they're all very well qualified, which is something that's different from his team to Trump's team. And so he's putting this team together so that on day one they can work when on January 20th. And I think this is an amazing thing. And so President-elect Joe Biden, he's formed this transition team that's dedicated to coordinating the coronavirus response across the government. And so the group consists of dozens of transition officials and cuts across a slew of federal agencies in a sign of the comprehensive approach that Biden is planning to take toward combating the worsening pandemic. As you know, there are hundreds of thousands of people infected right now, and, you know, so many people have lost their lives. Americans on American soil have lost their lives. And I think the saddest part about Americans who have died from coronavirus is that their death could have been preventable. If I'm not blaming it all on Trump, but if government officials would have tightened COVID-19 restrictions from the beginning, we wouldn't have lost so many Americans. There wouldn't be an empty seat at the table in so many American homes. And I think it's the real tragedy is that the economy was, you know, put over people's lives. And I think my favorite saying nowadays is people over profit. And I will always believe that. People over profit. No matter how much or how little money I have, I will always believe that people are more important than the economy. Human life is more important than the economy. And it's sad that people in power have forgotten this, or maybe never even cared about this. And it has really shown how the government cares about its citizens, I guess certain government officials, I should say. And so let's go back to Joe Biden and his COVID-19 team. And so the COVID-19 team, it's not been formally announced, and it's largely separate from the coronavirus task force that Biden unveiled Monday, which is primarily advising Biden and handling the incoming administration's public messaging. And so the transition group still is in its infancy. So it's at the very beginning stages, and it's met virtually for the first time on Tuesday, and it's likely to lay the groundwork for a White House COVID-19 response team to be created after Biden is inaugurated on January 20th. And so the team's work is likely to be slowed until the Trump administration authorizes a presidential transition, which we don't know when that's going to happen, as we discussed in other segments, because Trump is being Trump. And so, you know, this delay could be deadly. And sad, again, that Trump is just being selfish and he's putting American lives at risk, and he could be literally saving human life right now. But apparently he doesn't believe people over profit, as I do. And so Biden's team altogether consists of 52 transition officials, and these include representatives reviewing nearly every major federal agency, with plans to meet by video call as frequently as once a day, which is a lot. And so it has enlisted dozens of additional state-level health experts and academics to serve as subject matter experts who can aid specific policy efforts. And so I really love how Biden is getting the most educated, not even educated, most experienced people to handle and tackle this virus. And I think that's what we really need. I am a strong believer in science, and I think science works, and that's what we really need to see here. And so the coronavirus transition team is broken down into three specialties, and so each led by a handful of transition officials, which are being called the central team at this time. And so these central team leaders will coordinate efforts with designated transition officials, which are assigned to individual agencies. And these are the Health and Human Services, Homeland Security, and State Departments. And so the team's domestic work is led by a 5-person group, which includes Sarah Bianchi, who is a top economic and domestic policy aide to Biden. And she was a policy and domestic aide to Biden when he was vice president to President Obama. And so transition officials in the group include John Hopkins, infectious disease expert Tom Inglesby, and Luciana Berrio. And so they are former FDA officials and National Security Council members. And again, I love how Biden is specifically picking the people who are the most equipped to tackle this pandemic, which is so important, as too many lives have been lost already, and we really need to get a grasp on COVID-19. It's getting scarier. It's getting, spread around really, really quick now. You know, I used to not know many people at all who contracted COVID-19, and now I know several people who have contracted the virus. Luckily, I have not been one of those, knock on wood, but I feel very grateful for my health, and I hope that we can get this under control so no more people have to suffer. It's definitely something that's not fun. And, you know, with this being said, mask up. If you have to go out, if you have to be around people, mask up. Social distance. We've been in this thing for 8-9 months now. We know what to do. We know the procedures. Do your part. Care about human life. Be empathetic. Be compassionate, you know. care for your fellow human. And even though you may not see, well, why do I have to wear a cloth covering on my face? Like, just do it. Just do it. If it's going to make other people feel better, just do it. You know, I am a people pleaser. And so even if I didn't understand, I understand science and I understand why wearing a cloth covering on my face is important. But even if I didn't understand and it made someone else feel better, I would do it because I'm a people pleaser. And I ultimately think that what's ever good for my fellow human is good for me. And if they feel good, I feel good. And I think it's crazy that other people don't think that way. But ultimately, we can get through this thing. I'm excited for this new presidency, this new term, what it's going to look like. It looks like he has a lot of plans for the future that will maybe help us, hopefully so. Thank you for listening to The Resistance this week. It's been a great time. I'll talk to you guys next week. And you're with your host, DJ Revolution, on the one and only Penguin Radio at the Dominican University of California.